Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. This reading is from Revelation. I just want to remind you of it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Old and new. That passage talked a lot about the differences between old and new. When Jesus comes again, there will be an end of everything old, and a new heaven and a new earth will spring into existence. Can you imagine a time where the planet that we live on, we could call the first Earth, because there's a new one? Or when heaven, where God lives, we call, "Oh, that one, that was old. That was old heaven. That was the first heaven. Now there's a new one." I mean, that's what happens, though. When something new comes, everything before it is old. How many of you have iPhones? You know, probably a few of you. I do too. I have an iPhone. It's an iPhone 11. And I remember when I got it. It was a very special thing. I remember it very clearly because I didn't know it was special at the time, but later on I found out. I went to the Verizon store. I told them I wanted to switch from the Motorola phone I had. I wanted an iPhone. They showed me what they had, and I asked, "Well, I mean, do you have like an older phone? Because I don't need to spend a lot of money." And they're like, "Honestly, today we don't have any older phones. We just got it's not going to really cost you much less to get the iPhone 10." So I said, "Well, fine. You know, if there really isn't an older phone that I can have, I'll just take this phone, this iPhone 11," and I bought the phone and went home. And I might have even posted on Snapchat that I got an iPhone 11. And then all of a sudden, Sophia, who was like a junior or a sophomore in high school, started freaking out on me. She's like, "You got the new iPhone 11? I was like, "Yeah, it's an iPhone 11. I just got it new today." She's like, today. And she's like, "It just came out yesterday. It's like a brand new phone. You have the brand new iPhone. All my friends are like so excited and jealous of you." I was like, "Wow, you know?" So it wasn't just that it was a new phone to me. It was a brand new phone. It's the newest phone that they had. And it kind of made me feel a little more special. And it made the phone feel a little bit more, you know, cool. But I also remember when my new iPhone 11 started to feel old. It was when the new iPhone 12 came out. And then all of a sudden they were saying, "Do you want to upgrade? Do you want to upgrade your iPhone 11 to an iPhone 12? I was like, "Why? It works fine. It's good enough for me, you know?" And then now there's like iPhone 13, so mine is a fossil. You know, I mean, it's almost like who would even use such a phone? But that's what happens. See, when something new comes out, all the old stuff, it's like obsolete. I mean, it's good enough for me. I still think it's just fine. But maybe I'm missing out on things I have no idea that I could get with the iPhone 13. When we put our faith in Jesus, what we were before is now old, okay? We're called to live a new life. Now, our old way of life might seem just fine. It might seem just great. But Jesus calls us away from that into a new creation. We might not have any idea how wonderful it is. B- But it is something new, and it's something Jesus wants us to walk into. I think that many of us are stuck in our old ways because they're comfortable and they're familiar. Dave Ramsey, the radio finance coach, often says, when it comes to money, how we handle our money, we can be like a toddler in a soiled diaper. I know it smells bad, but it's warm and it's mine. And only when the rash comes will we start to cry out about it. But that's a little bit like how we act as Christians. We accept a life that stinks in a lot of ways, but we're used to it. We know it works for us. And we just don't ever try to live this new way that Jesus has us live. Until our old life really starts to hurt us in ways. And then we think, maybe I should look for something new. In Revelation it says, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What are the old order of things? I think there's more than that, more than those four things. This passage says that one day death was going to be put to an end. There's not going to be any more pain. But even before that last day, there are many things that have been put to an end that we just simply don't live out. And I thought I would just talk about a couple of them today. I'm sure there are other ones. But I want to say, like, these things are old. They're the old way of doing things. But we cling so tightly to them. And I just wonder if we let go of those and tried to live in the way Jesus had us live, if we'd find some more meaning and purpose and joy in our lives. Fear is a good one, I think. Fear is old, according to God, that we can live a different kind of life away from our fear. In the book of Joshua, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In 1 John chapter 4, it says, there is no fear in love. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, what John is saying here, and I think what they're all trying to get at here, is that perfection in love happens when we're starting to live the new life that Jesus has called us into. The new thing is love, and the old thing is fear. You can still wear a seatbelt when you're driving a car, because you realize that accidents happen. That doesn't mean you're living your life in fear just because you wear a seatbelt. But you shouldn't just stay home because you're afraid to drive. Because accidents happen. I mean, you wouldn't want to stay home and just never leave the house because you're afraid an accident might happen. Because, I mean, you could realize nothing in all creation can separate you from God's love. And you still want to see your friends and your family, or go to work, or go to school. So, I mean, there's a healthy dose of fear, but when our life is lived in fear, that's the old way that God does not want us to live anymore. I think we can all kind of relate, at least this is something I have experienced in the last 2.5 years during COVID. You know, at first, do you remember? I think a lot of people were afraid. I know I was afraid. I was just getting gas the other day, and I remembered, because I saw that they were still in the car, I had plastic gloves that I would put on when I'd put in the gas to fill up my car. And then after that, I would put on the hand sanitizer. I mean, to push the button on the air compressor, I would put on a glove to do that. You know, I didn't want to leave the house because I knew I was going to have to shower if I did. And I showered like 3 times a day a few times. That's fear. That's living your life in fear. Now, over a period of time, when we found out things were better, that we could get around and do things, right, then we went back out. But I'm sure that there are some people, even still today, that are scared to leave the house. They're still afraid of this virus for lots of reasons, right? But I would just argue that at first it made sense. And then it made sense to wear masks and all that stuff. You know, it makes sense, just like we wear a seatbelt when we're driving. But we can't get stuck there so that we live the rest of our life in fear, because now there's something new. Now we can live this life in a new way, and I think that we're a lot happier now than we were back then. What's something else that's old? What's something else that's old? I mean, just focusing on yourself. It's a big problem for me, I think, selfishness, but I think it's a big problem for a lot of people. The Bible says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." I think that's important. It says not only. It's like, of course you still have to take care of yourself. Of course you're still going to do some things that make you happy, but you can't be only focused on making yourself happy. That's old. You want to be focused also on the needs of others around you. That's the new life that God wants for you. So we all want to get ahead. We all want to be successful. We want to have accomplishments. But sometimes our competitive natures get the best of us, and we're willing to win at all costs, even at the cost of the relationships around us. But personal successes and accomplishments truly are part of this old world. And God has something new for us. He wants us to focus more on others and less on ourselves, more on God, less on ourselves. Because you can put all of your focus on the success you get here on earth, on improving yourself, but God says loving others and focusing on Him is going to give you a lot more joy and give God a lot more glory in the end. So I read a recent devotional in this devotional book, Experiencing God, from May 10th, so it wasn't very long ago. And it really talked about this very issue. So I want to read it for you because it doesn't take that long. It says, "It is possible to experience success and yet to be void of God's presence. If success is what is important to you, you may be tempted to choose accomplishments over your relationship with God. God offered to send an angel with the Israelites as they entered the promised land to ensure their success in every venture. No army could withstand them. No city wall could stop them. The wealth of the land lay before them. Everything they had ever dreamed of appeared to be theirs for the taking. The only thing missing would be the presence of God. God said that they were an obstinate people, and He would not go with them when their hearts were far from Him. The Israelites' experience reveals that victory and great accomplishments are not necessarily a sign of God's presence. Do not assume that your good health, your profitable business, or the growth of your ministry is due to the presence of God. It may be that you have inadvertently chosen success over your walk with the Lord." Moses wisely concluded that success, no matter how great, is not a substitute for fellowship with God. Moses knew how quickly worldly achievements could disappear. His security came from his relationship with God. Success in the world's eyes is not a sign of God's blessing. It may, in fact, indicate that you have chosen a substitute for intimate fellowship with God. Would you be satisfied to have success, power, wealth, but not a relationship with God? Do you value God's presence in your life more than the greatest achievements you could experience in the world? Success is old. A relationship with God is new. Focusing on yourself is old, while focusing on God and others is the new life God wants for us. You know, today is high school graduation, And a lot of you probably remember that. They're about to start a new chapter in their lives. You've heard that before. But honestly, some of the high school graduates, they're probably going to just stick to the things that they're used to. Their old routines, old friends, old habits, even after graduation. They'll have the same job, same friends, same attitude. They'll probably still be playing a lot of video games 10, 15, 20 years from now. Not much will have changed. Just because you become an adult or graduate high school, it doesn't mean you're going to start acting any differently. For some people, high school will be the highlight of their life, and they don't really want to go and try something new because they like where they're at. Others are going to step out, do something a little different, take a risk or two, and maybe, just maybe, find even more happiness than what they've had before. And the same is true for us as Christians. For some of us, Christianity, being a Christian, is a title, not a way of life. We still live according to the old ways, focusing on fear, on success, on ourselves. We might never live out the life that God has freed us for and has called us to. But why not try something different to live out that new life, even starting a little bit today? In Philippians chapter 3, St. Paul says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Today you have another opportunity to leave the old behind and to embrace this new life that Jesus Christ has given you. And that new life might just make all the difference in giving your life joy and peace and purpose that you have never known before. I think it's a risk worth reaching for, forgetting what is behind and focusing on Jesus Christ, and that leaving the old behind and going after what's new. Amen.